If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. Last time I had Pink Snot on the show, it was actually only one member of the band. I have the whole band here now, which is kind of cool. It's always fun to try to talk to a bunch of people at once over the internet. And last time, you know, we did an episode about this band, it was actually spring 2022. It seems like it happened much more recently than that, but that was a while back when we did that episode. So obviously a lot has happened. I mean, I know we're going to get into it. There's a new record. There's all kinds of exciting things on the horizon. But I think the best way to start this off is if the four of you want to introduce yourselves, maybe your name, what instrument you play in the band, so listeners can put a name to the voice. So whoever wants to go first.
I'm Brandon. I play bass and I do vocals.
Katie, I write the songs, sing, and play rhythm guitar.
I'm Ryan. I play guitar. No vocals.
G, head on the drawer.
Cool. And yeah, like last time, Katie, you were the only one on the show. And I mean, we definitely talked about what you were up to at the time. And I think at the time you were putting out a whole bunch of demos. It seemed like it was just like constantly, recordings showing up on the Bandcamp and everything. And, but now you have a new record. And I think that's maybe a good place to start is what can you tell me the basic details about this album that people are hopefully going to hear very soon?
So this album is entitled Dead Messenger. It's a kind of a loose concept album that basically follows a protagonist that passes away kind of in early adulthood and travels back in time to visit the younger version of themselves and kind of warn them about things that are going to happen in life and what to look out for and whatnot. This album has been in the works for a long time. A lot of bumps and stuff, but we finally have a release date for it. And it's going to be coming out February 22nd. We're going to have physical copies on CD, and we should have a vinyl release date following that.
Right on.
But we'll be releasing it locally on that day mentioned, February 22nd, at the show we're playing with Comeback Kid, Cancer Bats, Orthodox, and Meantime, Burton Cummings Theater, and that's February 22nd.
Yeah, that's a huge show. You seem to actually show up on a lot of bills with a lot of these out-of-town bands that I don't know how you're ending up on all these shows, but I mean, you've had a few in the past too, and coming up as well, that Comeback Kid show is massive. Like, that's gonna be sold out probably, if it isn't already.
Yeah, it's absolutely such an honor to be asked to play that show. We all had tickets for it before we knew we were playing it.
Yeah, either way we were going.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is a better option, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. A dream come true. Yeah
for sure. So with it, I just go back onto the kind of concept of the record. I mean, that almost seems a little, not in a bad way, but high concept for a punk album, right? I mean, I think a lot of people listening to punk rock want to have this kind of short, fast, hard, 2-minute songs, and they don't necessarily connect to each other. I mean, and a concept album like this is almost more something you'd expect from like a prog band or something. And I realize, obviously, that's not what you guys do, but being a punk band, do you feel like, and especially in this era, the way people consume music, do you feel like people are going to sort of grasp the concept of it, or are they just going to sort of listen to it and dig it for what it is outside of sort of the songs being tied together?
I think that there's a lot of relatability to it because a lot of the songs follow different scenarios that I've actually encountered in my own life.
Okay.
So I'd kind of ghostwriting for this fictional character in a lot of it. But yeah, I think there's a lot of relatability, in it. Lots of it is kind of unfortunately stuff that occurs to many people. So yeah.
Okay. So they can relate to it not in a good way. But yeah, no,
it's not a sunshine and rainbows kind of an album. So
yeah, sure. Well, and if you, that's the next one, right. So I guess for the question for the rest of you then is, I mean, like, you know, how do you contribute to something like that? Knowing that the songs are connected and there's a storyline and things like that, when you guys are, you know, putting the songs together, especially from, you know, adding other instruments sort of to the original song, what is that like for you? Is it a different way of approaching music, knowing that this is sort of part of a whole rather than sort of individual songs on song?
I don't know. I guess creatively I had some input, I guess, but mine was more just like musical arrangements and stuff.
Okay.
So just, play this part here instead of here, or one bit longer or something. But I always try to play my best, I guess.
Yeah, most of the song structures are already there. By Katie, so we're just picking up what she's laying down, and for the most part it's all there. We just throw our own little bits to it, and otherwise it's ready to roll. So
cool. And this is I'm sure I asked this to you last time, Katie, but I'm gonna ask everyone else too. It's a question everyone hates answering, is how do you define the kind of music you play? I mean, I've been referring to you as a punk band, but punk is such a huge umbrella term, and there's so many different sort of subgenres and ways of describing it. And I think that you would probably fit into a bunch of different categories. But what do the four of you sort of think about how you define the sound of Pixnot?
Sure, with Chris.
Yeah. Well, Katie's already labeled us no core,
okay,
which implies that we have no labels. We have no. It's heavy punk music as a basis, but we play whatever we like, whatever sounds good, whatever feels good. So there's not really a particular label to it. I think it's more open.
Okay.
Yeah.
To the rest of you?
I think I would like the label punk too, just because it's somewhat broad and there's a lot of different, a lot of different styles in the mix.
Like any musical genre, like the, you know, there's all these kind of like tiny little subgenres within, right? The bass is definitely, you know, punk is the foundation, and after that, it's like, you know, yeah, it's pretty out there. It's not we don't fit into kind of just like one little kind of corner, you know.
Well, I guess that's the good thing about having a genre that does have all those multifaceted sort of sounds, right? I mean, you could be a punk band and you can do this and this and still be within sort of that punk umbrella.
I don't think there's any attempt to follow like a strict code to any type of genre.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to be.
Yeah!
With this record, I mean, people who have heard your previous stuff, have heard the demos, have maybe seen you live. What should they expect from this album? I mean, like, how has the band changed, the band sound changed, if at all, sort of over the years between when you started putting music out and now when you have this full length on the way?
There's a huge shift in the style of music from the early stuff to this. And then that being said, like, Our second album is written already. Oh, wow. And demoed and like over demoed. Like we have many songs. We had Brandon, like 8 or 9 B-sides to even the album Dead Messenger that we didn't put on it. Some of them were, you know, pretty good songs. But Dead Messenger is definitely, I would say, if you were going to categorize it, it's like a hardcore punk album, right? It's very heavy. And then before that was more like speed punk and
a little bit of a
couple of even ska punk songs.
Yeah. And
it was all over the place, like power pop punk, like the newer stuff now. That is because Dead Messenger took so long. Like I said, we have another album ready, which is great though. It's always good to have more than less. This is kind of like, I would say, an evolution from the hardcore punk. Like there's still hardcore punk in it, but there's a lot more into that. But I mean, we won't really talk about that too much more because we'll leave that for a surprise. But
for sure.
But yeah, so we're never wanting to really kind of stay the same, right? Like, I don't know.
Well, then
life's too short, right?
Maybe a question off of that previous question would be then, you know, you say you have a new, another album already sort of ready to go when this one's just coming out. How much has it changed from those two albums? Like, is there a significant shift sort of in the stuff that you're releasing now and then what you're working on sort of currently as well? Or is it in the same kind of mode?
There's, I would say it's, I would say the shift we made before was like a 75% shift, or maybe like it was a big shift. And then from this to the newest stuff is like more, maybe 30%.
25, 30.
Yeah, yeah, hard to say. I don't know.
Okay, it's but smaller.
Yeah. It depends on who's listening to it, right? So
for sure.
Less breakdowns.
Okay. Was this the big shift? Was that something that you did deliberately, or is that just sort of how the songs evolved over the time of being a band?
Well, when I started to, I wrote the first song for this album, and then knowing that, okay, this is what I want to do with it. And then kind of everything just followed suit into that, stylistic wise, but there was other songs that I wrote. Not too many in that time period, but there was other songs that I wrote that were not of the same style, but those ones like aren't even the B-sides from that album. They were just kind of extra stuff I wrote.
Obviously, you're a very prolific writer, though. I mean, even before when you were releasing so much stuff on Bandcamp and you have all these B-sides and other songs, like how many songs does this band have if you had to guess, like in total, how big is the Pink Snot songbook?
I'd say we probably have like
well over 50, maybe even 100.
Probably about 100. Yeah.
Wow. And are they all songs that you know enough that you could just pull out at a show, or are there some of them that are deep background?
Well, there's songs that I've written that I don't even remember how to play. So yeah,
and there's songs that I probably never even learned how to play yet.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, how do you decide with that big of a catalog of songs to choose from? How do you decide which ones you're going to be doing? I mean, first of all, to put on a record, and secondly, just to play live. I mean, are you focusing mainly on new stuff, or do you go back to some of those older songs and sort of maybe revamp them or use them in current sets?
Well, like the stuff from when the band was, in our infancy, like that stuff that we played live. Ryan and Chris weren't members yet. So like kind of like when they joined was like, it was a perfect timing because that's when I pretty much had just started writing. Maybe I was like 3 songs into the Dead Messenger album. We don't play any of the stuff that predates Dead Messenger, anymore. And
that makes
like
sense.
Moving forward, I don't know if I even would, like maybe, but I mean, there's not really a need to go back to that. I mean,
sure. Well, I guess maybe a better way of approaching that question then is do the songs on this album, did they seem old to you at this point now that you have other stuff that's already sort of on the go? Like, is it obviously it's new to people hearing it for the first time and that's exciting and you get to, you know, play all these songs live and people will know it because they've heard the record, but does it seem like you've sort of already moved beyond those songs? Not in that there's something wrong with those songs, but just in terms of the evolution of the band, like, do you feel like you've already a couple steps ahead of where you were when you recorded these?
Definitely, yeah. I would say, yeah, for sure.
I did have a follow-up question. I had something in my mind, but if people see you live, they're going to probably see something that's a little bit more refined, I guess, and more honed into the sound that you want. Then they'll even hear on the record, right? I mean, the record has obviously the sound you're going for, but if you've, like you said, moved a couple steps on from that, it'll probably give me even tighter, better, you know, all that stuff. Hopefully.
Yeah, no, like we had before. We haven't played anything like brand new. We played
one song
at only one show, and we're not playing it like at our next two shows, most likely. We just kind of, it felt like it was a good time to try it out, you know. But that's actually a track that we recorded at Private Ear as well, cool. With John Paul Tier. So it was,
With a big show like this Comeback Kid one, that's coming up soon. Obviously you're not a new band, but you might be new to a lot of people at that show who are, you know, coming to see Cancer Bounce or Comeback Kid or whoever. How do you sort of win over new people? Like what do you hope to present to a potentially big audience of people who haven't heard you before that will, you know, best case scenario, will get them to buy your album, go to more shows, you know, get interested in what you're doing in the future?
Just be as real as we can be, you know, just
be in the moment and give it 100%, right? And hopefully you get a couple people that grasp onto it and like it, or
seems to happen at every show where someone who you never would have expected would come up to you after the show and say, holy shit, you guys sounded awesome, and yeah, it feels great. And then they go and they buy a shirt or whatever, and you know, hopefully with this being on a bigger stage, you know, we get 10, 20, 50 people doing that instead of just 5 or whatever. So that's the goal.
So do you have a grasp then on sort of who your typical fan is, or is it pretty wide open?
I didn't quite hear you.
Yes, if we had a grasp of our typical fan, or is it pretty wide open?
Oh, I'd say all of them.
Yeah, I said, yeah,
pretty wide open.
It's all over the place. I mean, like all of us have a pretty eclectic taste in music. Like, Chris, what would be your hidden pleasure, whatever you call it, in music?
Well, I'm a huge Comeback Kid fan from day one, so getting invited to play this show is like a dream come true for me. No, I mean, do you like Backstreet Boys or something?
Yeah, yeah, is there a guilty pleasure? A guilty pleasure, yeah, yeah.
No, I'm a hardcore kid. I listen to Hollow Ground, Figure Four, Comeback Kid, and then anything under under that umbrella. And then I also listen to some weird shit like REM and 311, so I don't really have a like a dead set genre, but
sure,
I go all over the place.
What about the rest of you? I mean, is there anything weird in sort of your respective record collections that would shock people or surprise people based on how the band sounds?
What about you, Ryan?
I really like disco music.
Okay.
I like Schick. Yeah, Schick is pretty... Schick is great. I got some Schick 8-tricks there. Yep.
A Boney M, maybe?
Yeah, oh, definitely Boney M. No, they're not, maybe Rasputin. But, for, I don't know, for me... like I go from like, you know, Beach Boys, Pet Sounds, and I guess like, I don't know, like the Zombies and, you know, like weird, like psychedelic 60s stuff.
Yeah.
I even like, I don't even, I listen to Venom and Dabba.
And Venom is awesome though. Venom is a great band. Yeah.
I was listening to Debbie Gibson the other day. So I mean, but yeah, like you
it's
know,
a big
it's,
range. Yeah,
yeah. I don't. Yeah.
What about you, Ryan?
Oh. Yeah, I'm all over the place. I like a bit of everything. I mean, I grew up with all the Bat Records and Epitaph stuff, and
sure,
like a lot of metal. I got a little bit of everything upstairs. I got some Rush. I got some Supertramp. Some reggae stuff.
Right on.
Yeah.
joke's on you! So get fucked!
Where can people hear this? I mean, you know, obviously at the time we're recording this, you have a bunch of shows happening. People can presumably get a record at some of your upcoming shows once it's out. What's the best way for people to find out, first of all, where you're playing next, and then secondly, where they can hear your music?
Well, you could, like, if you're going to go on the internet to listen to us, I guess Bandcamp. I'm not a huge fan of a lot of streaming platforms. Because they screw over musicians.
They sure do.
Yeah. Bandcamp for sure, like we'll have our stuff on there, or you can buy a physical copy of a CD or you know, like I said, a vinyl soon. And then like I keep our our Facebook pretty active. And we have an Instagram as well. We're the only Pink Snot. So
there's a music video on YouTube.
Oh, right on. Yeah, yes. Yeah. I think I saw it. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. It's weird that you're really the only Pink Snot. I mean, not that it seems like a name that a bunch of people would jump on, but that's kind of a good to get the only name of that for all the social media accounts and shit.
Don't need the blue check mark.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. You're the only one. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. You don't need to pay that $8 a month or whatever it is.
To verified.
Right, yeah, I think that costs a lot more than that, but yeah, yeah. So you have the show, I mean, obviously the show coming up at Ed Burton Cummings Theater. I think you were saying before we started, you have another one coming up in March at Side Stage. What are the details on that show?
Yeah, so that's
there's with Ignite and Death by Stereo.
Cool. That's another big name band, the big name bands that you got on the bill with.
Definitely fan of both bands of that build for sure, too.
Cool. And what's the date on that one?
March 13th at Side Stage.
Awesome. Awesome. And then when does the
new venue, eh? It'll be my first time playing that venue too. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't been there yet either. I've looked in the window. I've been at park shows and then like kind of walked over and peeked in there, but I haven't actually been inside. It looks cool though.
I haven't been to that yet. I've seen pictures on like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Well, that one, it'll be nice. Be nice to see a new venue.
For sure.
Thanks, Court.
Right on. And then when does the actual record come out? Like what is the actual release date of this album?
February 22nd, and you can buy it online as well from River Monster Records. They're in the States though, so I mean, like for any of our American fans, it'll be easier for them to buy it there. But we'll have copies up here. So yeah, I mean, if anyone in Canada wants to buy any, we'll just ship them ourselves or whatever.
Right on.
Maybe we'll put some merch on Bandcamp too. I'm not sure about that yet.
Cool. Okay. Well, people should check out the Bandcamp, obviously, and watch for that and then come to your shows. I mean, those both sound like pretty good shows. Anyway, plus you guys playing too, which is very cool. So, yeah.
To the darkness, my former fallen friend, gaze inwards to the abscess, entombed within. We are the suffering inside.
Here we go.